All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. This is episode number 2 for the week because it is Egg Bowl week. I am joined this morning by James Murphy, my fellow co-worker here at the Daily Journal. James, how are you?
I'm good, Brendan. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this for me. I appreciate it. Just how are you feeling on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving?
Pretty good. Excited for the holiday and excited for the weekend to come. Quite a bit to dive into.
How do you feel about not having the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving this year?
It's tough to say because on the one hand, people actually get to spend all of Thanksgiving partaking in Thanksgiving. But on the other hand, the Egg Bowl had been on Thanksgiving for so many years, so you wonder if that's an adjustment. I'm fine with it. I like that people get to, again, spend Thanksgiving doing Thanksgiving things and can just kind of enjoy the Egg Bowl on a day when you have a lot of time off and a lot of time to work with.
Well, unfortunately, nothing will save us this year from Cowboys-Giants. So
No. As a guy from New York, nothing can ever save you from that because no matter what, they will always put the game on primetime. Both teams would be winless going in with third-string quarterbacks and head coaches on the hottest of hot seats. It will still find its way on national television.
Well, I mean, this time it's 3:30 or whatever because it's, you know, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys always play the afternoon game. But
yeah, very true.
We don't deserve this as a society. Unfortunately, the only thing, yes, is Tulane and Memphis, and that doesn't even kick off until much later into that horrible nonsense that is Tommy Cutlets versus Cooper Rush. Can you feel the rush from that?
Yeah, I feel the rush. Oh, versus oh, and it's just, nothing can save us from that.
Nothing like a good old battle of mid. But, you know, it's not a, I was going to say what's not a battle of mid, but I don't know if that's really a great way to segue into the Egg Bowl this year.
Well, let's just, let's keep it broad and say that that's more complicated than that.
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't say that either team is mid.
Right.
That is both complimentary and derogatory.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to kind of tackle the Ole Miss side of things. We're going to do our best here. I did the state side of things with Benjamin Rosenberg from the Commercial Dispatch yesterday. You should definitely check that out. But right now we're going to piece together the Ole Miss side of things. And it is sort of a happy coincidence that I'm wearing a UF sweatshirt as I'm recording this. But I got to say that it is not a great time for Ole Miss.
No. where do you start with a game like this? The start of that game was concerning in and of itself just because they had 2 weeks to prepare for Florida and looked the way that they did out of the gate. And as the game went on, they just fell into a lot of the same mistakes they made against LSU and Kentucky. And in other games where it might not have come back to bite them in the end, but they still made them. It was mistakes that you thought they had overcome. It was mistakes that you thought they'd put in the rearview mirror. You know, missed fourth down conversions deep in opponent territory. The play calls on said fourth down. Jackson Dart throwing to a swath of defenders with one receiver maybe able to catch the ball, not a ton of consistency, and just a lot of panic, a lot of penalties, a lot of little mistakes that led to big negative results. And now if you're Ole Miss, you're being asked to go into a short week and get ready for a rival. And yes, on paper, the gap between the two is very wide, but it is still a rival. And it is a short week, and you do still have to get ready for it.
I will be honest. I think I said this to Benjamin yesterday, and I definitely mentioned it to you yesterday. if this game is close, I will believe in the, well, you never know in rivalry week narrative. Like, I will never doubt that ever, ever again. But I do have a hypothesis for you in that I think any time that you are in contention for, you know, playoffs, or I'm going to go back a bit, the BCS championship, it is a bad idea for Ole Miss and Florida to meet each other in the Swamp. It's just a horrible, no good, very bad idea, because weird things happen. You know, 2008, obviously Ole Miss beats Florida in the Swamp. Big upset, big win. Tim Tebow makes the promise, and there's still like a plaque for that at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. And, you know, Florida goes on to win the BCS National Championship that year. 2015, you know, Ole Miss is number three, and they walk into the Swamp and just get smacked by Will Grier and the Gators. And then this year, Ole Miss walks into the Swamp with playoff hopes and leaves without them.
Yeah, I can't be stressed enough. They had 2 weeks to get ready for this game and looked discombobulated the whole way. Now, you can't plan for losing Trey Harris in the middle of the game when it looked like he was healthy enough to go for a few days leading in. But also, another part of me is like, okay, you've played without him before and you've looked pretty good at times. So where was that version in a game that they could not afford to lose? Because they win the game, I think they're probably top 10, because Georgia's seventh right now. I would assume that in that scenario, the playoff committee would have honored the tiebreaker and had Ole Miss higher. But yeah, now you definitely don't control your own destiny. You need a lot to happen in front of you. And I just don't know what Ole Miss we're going to get. Obviously, the talent's still there. And if they continue to, you know, show effort, I control what they can control. I don't see a ton of problems, but I don't know what we're going to get from Ole Miss on Friday.
That's entirely fair, especially since so much of this year was about going all in and, you know, doing everything you can to, you know, go all out for a playoff spot and, you know, hopefully eventually a national title. But that is clearly not gone to plan. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I think this Ole Miss season has been incredibly cursed.
Cursed. Not correct. just a failure of a season, but cursed.
Incredibly cursed.
Okay.
So they have played three close games all year. Like three games decided by one possession.
Yes.
They have lost all of them.
Those were their only one possession games all year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, go flip a coin three times and see if it lands on the same side all three times. See how many times it takes you to do that. It's not improbable, but it is somewhat difficult. I would also throw out there, this is not an excuse, this is more so just a little bit of like bad luck when it comes to scheduling, but it's kind of a raw deal to get both LSU and Florida and have to play them on the road both times. You know, like two of the like craziest environments in college football. You drew both of them in the same year and lost to both. That's not really cursed. I just thought it was interesting. But for example, when it comes to, you know, the kind of like cursed thing, Bill Connelly does this wonderful thing called post-game win expectancy, where it's, if you take all the stats that like the two teams put together, and you know, like you take that and how many times does the team or how many times do you win, right? Like how often does a team win a game given the stats that they put up? In that game against Florida, Ole Miss had a post-game win expectancy of 74%. So 74% of the time when a team puts together the stats and efficiency that Ole Miss does in that Florida game, they win roughly 3 out of 4 times. Ole Miss managed to lose. So if you add up all of the you know, kind of post-game win expectancies. Ole Miss is expected to have, rounding up, 10 wins this year. They have 8, right? Did they play particularly well in the Florida, Kentucky, and LSU games? Not really. But they were all by one possession. And if you had just won one of them, you would still be below what you were, you know, expected to do. If you just won one of them, it's a different season. I mean, you would still be alive for things. I mean, if Ole Miss had just beaten Kentucky, I think everybody would feel a lot better about things. And, you know, either Florida or LSU would have been a decent to okay wins. So, I don't know. It's just really cursed because they beat up on everybody else pretty much.
You could certainly chalk it up to curse. If you want, you could also chalk it up to just a lot of the little things, because you got to factor in, again, some of the fourth down call. You mentioned it during the game on Saturday. Why you would have Jackson Dart block on a fourth and one with J.J. Pegues, and furthermore, why J.J. Pegues is going off tackle. Both decisions are beyond me.
Yeah, I don't really understand. Well, the thing I want to throw out there was, it seems like a lot of times with Pegues, it's a direct snap to him. Okay, well then why do you need Dart on the field? Because he's not, you don't want him blocking. I would rather you just throw out another tight end or something out there. Somebody who not only can block, you're not going to have a heart attack if they throw a block, right? And that's how I think the first one got blown up. And yeah, it's it didn't look great trying to see your very large defensive tackle try to bounce one outside.
It felt like he just lost momentum as soon as he did get off tackle, and that just allowed Florida to swarm him completely.
My hot take is that I don't think Ole Miss played that badly. It's just kind of it was a Murphy's Law kind of day. Anything that could go wrong went wrong.
Yeah, and again, it was the little thing. It was the fourth down. A lot of penalties, they just seemed disjointed a lot of times. Even if they were driving sometimes, it just seemed things looked a little bit off. The run game was also very off. Jackson Dart having more carries than any running back.
Look, given the injuries at the position and their general rushing efficiency this year, I stand by my statement. Ole Miss should never run the ball.
Sure, but I do believe in playing the hot hand, which is the passing game for this team. Yes. Trey Harris or no Trey Harris. But there has to be I don't know. I do feel like, and this is the Big Ten fan in me talking, so little forewarning. I just felt like you gotta get something from your run game. Just enough to balance it out and at least keep the defense honest. Because there are gonna be times where they will give you a run. In which case you take said run. And we didn't even see that very much.
Right, and Florida's defense has not been particularly great against the run, but also Ole Miss has not been good at running the ball. Mm. One thing I want to throw out there was one of the reasons why probably a lot of, I guess, sort of models like post-game win expectancy that I was telling you about have Ole Miss as having the edge in that Florida game. His success rates. I'm looking at gameonpaper.com. Great site, great resource. Go check it out. But Ole Miss had a success rate of 52%, 92nd percentile. And that's basically like the way I like to phrase success rate is like, you know, not falling behind the sticks. So keeping things moving. It doesn't tell you how successful your plays are, just a binary yes, no. And most of Ole Miss's damage came on early downs. They were, you know, 58% on early downs. And everything just fell apart for them on third downs, third and fourth downs. They were down to 33% on third and fourth. Including, you know, they were 3 for 14 on third down, 2 for 4 on fourth down. Finishing drives was brutal.
Yeah, just got to be able to finish. The stats look good, but got to be able to finish.
One last note. I think the best analogy I can make, and nobody here will understand this, but it was sort of like, to me, watching a hockey game where you've thrown 45 shots on goal and scored like one goal. Meanwhile, the other team has thrown 20 at your goalie and you've given up four. And you're like, how did we lose?
I believe the term for that is puck luck.
Yes. Also known as goalieing. Like, you just got goalied.
Oh, right. That's a verb, right?
Yes.
In hockey? I like that.
Or I can also say that Ole Miss put a lot of people on base and did not manage to bring a lot home. They hit into a lot of double plays.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I felt. I didn't think that they were the worst team that day. It just kind of happened. And then just everything in that fourth quarter just kind of happened.
Yeah, and I will stress again, kind of, just – you had thought, and I talked about this, you thought that after the LSU game, after the Kentucky game, really, especially after the LSU game, that Jackson Dart had gotten a lot of those low percentage throws out of his system. He had gotten out the throws where he was throwing into multiple defensive backs with one wide receiver kind of in the area. You had thought that he had gotten those out of his system and was able to make more efficient passes and make other stuff happen. And that last drive, the fact that throws a pick, oh, wait, no, he didn't catch it. Okay, now you get one last chance, first play. Now you actually threw a pick. that sequence was insane to me.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. It's hard to know when you don't know the play call. But I'm not entirely sure that was on him. It looked like a miscommunication that he just threw right at a defensive back. But I digress. I thought Dart was great through three quarters, and then it all kind of imploded after that. So, but enough of that. Let's actually talk about the game that we are here to talk about. We're only 17 minutes into the episode. What are you watching for?
I'm just watching for how Ole Miss does against the Mississippi State defense. It is no secret that State's defense has let's say, left a lot to be desired, and that, you know, a team with the firepower to beat them still can't. Look, as much as I am concerned about Ole Miss's motivation for it, because, again, they don't control their own destiny, and one could argue that too much needs to happen in order for them to make the playoff. So while I wonder about the attitude going in, I don't doubt that they have the talent to win, with or without Trey Harris, who... honestly, who knows at this point? It's been tough to tell, but I do think that as long as Ole Miss's offense plays the hot hand, whether that is just passing on three of four plays throughout the game, just how are they able to really control the ball and just get through this Mississippi State defense that, again, leaves a lot to be desired?
Yeah, as I phrased it to Benjamin last week or yesterday, pretty much you look up any sort of stat for Mississippi State's defense, be it analytics or just general yards, points, whatever. Usually it is both in the three digits and starts with a one and then a two.
Keep in mind, folks, there are 134 college football teams in Division I.
Right. I saw this interesting stat called stop rate. And it's the percentage of a defense's drives that end in punts, turnovers, or a turnover on downs. Ole Miss is fifth in stop rate. Would you like to guess where Mississippi State is?
124th.
Lower.
What do you mean lower?
Lower.
Okay, 128th.
They are 133rd.
Folks, again, reminder at home, there are 134 FBS teams.
Yes, they are only ahead of Kent State, who lost 43-7 to Buffalo last night to complete an 0-12 season, maybe quite possibly one of the worst seasons of all time by an FBS school. And State is just barely above that. Mississippi State has a stop rate of 40.6%. They are giving up 3.23 points per drive. So basically, anytime they hand the ball over, the opponent is, at best, getting a field goal.
Wow. So they're getting something most of the time.
Correct. Ole Miss is, again, fifth. The stop rate of 74.6%. They are giving up 1.24 points per drive. So the only teams ahead of them are Tennessee, Texas, Ohio State, and Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
So did just want to throw that out there. But, yes, that's sort of my thing. Is I feel like with a lot of matchups, you can at least point out and say, look, there are at least some, you know, individual matchups that are interesting, or you can find some kind of advantage. I struggle to find an advantage for State other than Ole Miss not wanting to be there.
Yeah, you just need to hope that Ole Miss is down enough where you can get off to a good start and see what they can do from there. Again, I think if you're Mississippi State and you're trying to find a way you can win, it would have to be a shootout. Like, you're going to have to beat Ole Miss in a shootout. And even then, that means no room for error for your offense, which has had so much happen to it. They lost Blake Shapen earlier in the year. They just haven't been able to get it going a lot. And, again, there's more on the offense than the defense. Like, the offense has shown a little bit here and there, but it has to be almost perfect because they're going to need to win a shootout.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially at the pace that Ole Miss likes to play at, that's kind of, you know, you think what, you know, getting to a shootout with pace is would not make them uncomfortable. But it's just funny. I'm looking at gameonpaper.com again. It's, you know, Ole Miss, their offense is third in EPA per play at 0.32. Great, you're going up against the 132nd defense in EPA per play, right?
Yeah.
And if you're saying, okay, State's best or like route to victory is putting up points, which they can kind of do. They're certainly not bad. It's certainly not last year. They're 73rd. They are going up against the number 16 defense in EPA per play, right? And I can't imagine that this Ole Miss defense is going to be fun for a true freshman quarterback.
No, especially not that defensive line.
And that's kind of what I told Benjamin yesterday was Michael Van Buren takes sacks at a pretty high rate, like regardless of the quality of, you know, Mississippi State's offensive line. Van Buren's taking sacks pretty much no matter what. Right now, his pressure to sack percentage is 23.5, like anything above like 20 is pretty bad. 23.5 is pretty darn bad.
So he's got no room to work.
Well, it's that anytime he does face pressure, he's taking sacks at a pretty high rate.
Oh, okay.
So regardless of how often he's getting pressure, it's just when you get pressure, how often are you sacked?
Right.
So yeah, you know, in my book, sacks are mostly a quarterback stat, so I just wanted to throw that out there. But, I mean, with the amount that Ole Miss's pass rush is just teeing off on people this year, that can't be fun.
No, definitely not, and it could set up for a pretty gnarly matchup on Friday.
Yeah, and then you go, okay, well, you know, a lot of paths to victory for underdogs in football is we're going to run clock. We're going to try to shrink the game as much as possible, and we're going to take the air out of the ball. Okay, great. State has found a pretty decent ground game over the course of the year. Great. You're running into one of the best run defenses in the country.
Yeah. Tough to really get that going against that kind of defense, and kind of makes you realize that maybe that path to victory might be a little narrow.
Yeah, so, I just don't really mean to mince words, but it is going to be tough sledding for State in this one, I think. Surely a loss to State for Ole Miss would be a new low.
Yeah, it would. Seeing as this is the one game of the year that you can salvage, and it is against a rival, but it is still a must win, especially now because I don't know what the message is in the locker room. I don't know if it's, hey, if we win and this happens and this happens, maybe we can get it going. Whatever will be needed to get them ready for Friday, but the message is going to have to be good.
Right. You know, I do worry with the amount of players from elsewhere that, you know, maybe the Egg Bowl doesn't mean that much to them. Right. On the other hand, you and I both know that there are a lot of Mississippi kids that still end up at Ole Miss and State.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And that's still important.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I do think a lot of it for Ole Miss is just making sure they remember the importance of the game, because there was a bigger picture and the frame got broken, if that makes sense. So, but now you still have a chance to beat your rival. And yes, the gap is big. I do think this is one of those cases where it's a matter of, I believe the phrase goes, control the controllables. Just go in, and it's one of those situations where if Ole Miss takes care of themselves, whoever they're missing, whoever is hurt or is doubtful or is a game time decision, and just control what they could control, I do think that this game is theirs to lose.
I will say this is certainly not the year to take any games for granted.
No, very true. There's been quite a bit of chaos in college football. So if there is a year for something this, an upset this crazy to happen, it would almost fall in line for it to be this year.
Well, also, I don't even mean that just for Ole Miss's sake. I mean, you know, for the teams that are above them in the playoff rankings right now. I wouldn't take anything for granted this week. You never know. That's why they play the games. Even if it's like a 5% chance, like, you're not out until you're out, and you really don't want to take yourself out.
Yeah, very true. I think they're probably rooting for South Carolina against Clemson for one. Maybe you're rooting for, I'm not sure who else ahead of them losing. Maybe Alabama losing. Again, I'm not sure if you're Ole Miss, if you want to try and end up in the top 12 or higher, because there's a team behind that could take a bid. But, yeah, obviously you don't want to leave anything out there in this rivalry.
Well, imagine telling people in early October that Ole Miss beating the brakes off South Carolina might actually have some meaning, because, you know, maybe South Carolina beats Clemson. Okay, great. Nice little win there to maybe salvage some kind of resume. You just never know. I mean, Georgia Tech's been a weird team this year. They played Georgia, who's ahead of Ole Miss. I wouldn't say that I'm expecting Georgia Tech to win that, but weirder things have happened this year and continue to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the number 5 team in the country lost to Northern Illinois.
Yeah, that's true, and they're still right back where they, and they haven't lost since.
Correct, which is why they're still that high. Gotta love recency bias when it comes to these rankings.
Yeah, it's something else. Guess that win over Army did them a lot of wonders.
12 games is already a pretty small amount to figure out who's good and who's not. Mm-hmm. And then just chop it in half, because it seems like really all that matters is the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, I guess so for some teams.
You know, people are, you know, joking, but it's like, well, what if we started talking about Florida as a playoff team with the way they played the last few weeks? It's a weird year. Weird things happen. That being said, I would not hold out hope for anything.
Yeah. Again, it's just a matter of Ole Miss controlling what it can control. And I do think that if they do that, they win this game. But they also don't control their own destiny, and that is a big, big part of this. And maybe in the locker room they try and coach them up to just whatever message it takes to win this game. But maybe in terms of like the fan base and the school and surrounding Ole Miss, I do wonder if there's that doubt.
Maybe State will bring back Greg Knox on an ATV or whatever.
Wouldn't that get the crowd going?
Yeah, well,
some within the crowd.
Yeah, well, it's in Oxford this year, so.
I feel like there will be somewhat decent contingent of State fans.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't have the same impact. But,
I suppose.
Side note, I just want to shout out the committee for doing the ethically right thing and having Boise State getting a bye. We love the Big 12, but we do not deserve a Big 12 team with bye this year.
No, we do not. Do I see the highest-ranked Big 12 team as 16th in the rankings?
I believe so, yes.
My goodness.
Wow. Excuse you, that is Mississippi State quality loss, Arizona State.
You know, you're right. My apologies.
Yes, please apologize to traffic cop Cam Scataboo, please.
I apologize to traffic cop Cam Scataboo.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
That's about it. They just got to control the controllables, and they got to try and put Florida behind them at least for 3 hours.
Got to. I think the two big things when it comes to avoiding upsets, you got to prevent explosive plays. Got to not turn the ball over. Granted, I feel like I've heard every coach say those two things, mm-hmm. but I think it's especially important when it's like gaps between two teams. It's like you don't want to give any signs of life. No free passes.
Exactly.
Especially after last week when they lost both of those battles.
Right.
So, James, is there anything you want to plug right now?
In terms of what I do, I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at JS Murphy Media. You can find a lot of my content there. I'm usually tweeting about the Ole Miss games and the Mississippi State games and just staying on top of things, so follow me there.
You can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. I do a lot of the same things that James does. And I think you and I are actually going to be busy that day. I don't know what the timing
will be. We'll be busy that night.
Yes.
That afternoon, we'll have some more time.
But, yeah, you know, if you want some high school football coverage as a side dish to your or as a dessert to your egg bowl, feel free to follow us. It's a 2:30 kick for the egg bowl. We'll be at high school football at 7. Things might get a little complicated for us, but
it'll work out.
Should be a good day.
Yeah,
at least. All right. Again, you can follow us on Twitter. You can find, all of our coverage at djournal.com. And thanks for listening.